Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. I'm in Miami. That's Jay Posner, Sports Center of the Union Tribune. He's in San Diego, where the Padres thankfully, and they will be grateful, return after playing four games in Miami. And we can be relatively certain, Jay, they will play four games in Miami because there is a roof.
I guess we could say relatively certain, right? The way that things have gone for the Padres lately, you don't want to put that at 100%. Like, you know, who knows what could happen? The place could spring a leak or something. I don't know. But it's. I'm glad you finally made it there. I know this has not been a terribly pleasant trip for you. Not that anyone who's listening is concerned with your well-being, other than me, of course.
Well, thank you.
So I'm sorry to hear that you sound like you're suffering a little bit.
Yeah. But, hey,
you know, maybe a little regular schedule here, and maybe they can play some games in under 4 hours, and all that sort of thing. You get a 6 o'clock start even on Saturday Eastern time. So
we're finally back to where I can at least say my standard line when people, you know, maybe we're talking about the schedule, because it can be kind of a grind covering this team. And right. I say, well, at least I get to watch baseball. Well, that hasn't so much been the truth on this trip. But I will get to watch the play four against the Marlins. And I'll be honest with you, Jay, I saw yesterday that all four of the pitchers for the Marlins were TBD. And when I went to do my research this morning after I woke up, I should say this afternoon after my nap, after arriving here, and I saw that the Marlins pitchers were still TBD, I said, they're in last place. My research in the Marlins is finished.
Yeah, my research is I edited something Jeff Sanders wrote, his little on-deck thing. Their offense is terrible. Their best hitters are all on the trade block, and we don't know who their pitchers are going to be all weekend. They do have Anthony Bass in their bullpen, former Padre, and they have not been good since the All-Star break. They're 41-55 overall. Although the weird thing is they're 41-55 and their run differential is -2. So at some point they're either losing a lot of close games or something like that. And let's face it, it's the Marlins. This is about the Padres. The Padres need to go in, play good baseball, have a good series, have a winning series, come home feeling good about themselves, know that they don't have to go to the Eastern time zone again for the rest of the season, know that the prospect of any kind of weather delay, really the rest of the year, they've got three games in Denver where you never know what's going to happen, and you have three games in St. Louis, and that's really it. I mean, the rest of it's in the Pacific time zone, in places where, you know, at this time of year, you would not expect any issues. So hopefully we're past that and we can go on to focus on other things like the trade deadline.
Do you know how excited the Padres would be to take 3 of 4, have mm-hmm. finished 6-3 on this trip, and then have an off day Monday, which is the first of 11 off days in the final 70 days of this season.
Right.
So 59 games over 70 days. Jay, counting the All-Star break, they've only had 13 days off so far. It's like, and then you just go over all the things that have happened in that, and that even the players are like, man, we play long games. Like, right. So they are, I say all that to tell you how much they are pointing to being finished with this trip. And that's not to be like, you know, they have to win 3 of 4, or to say that they're like, oh, we're good, we're golden if we win 3 of 4. It's just that this trip represents for them a significant milestone in the season, a mile marker, I should say.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. And like I said, and then you kind of turn your attention or have turned attention to the trade deadline, which is in 8 days, I believe. July 30th, which is, some of us also celebrate that day for another reason. But what are we looking at here? I mean, everybody's talking about what are the Padres going to do? I got a message today from another writer saying, you know, if the Padres could have one player, who would that be? And I said, I don't know, but it would be a starting pitcher. So
it would be a starting pitcher, though. I just started before this typing something that I probably, I don't know, you and I can talk about it later, but I don't know if it'll be today. I have a lot on the docket today, maybe the next day, looking at it a week out, where my understanding is they have talked to everybody about everybody, including something I heard a couple days ago, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And now I'm seeing that he could go to a National League team, and that's Nelson Cruz. Now, that would be as a part of a package where the Twins have a couple pitchers that they are. Now, the Twins are posturing, just like the Padres are posturing, like, no, we're going to do this from within. The Twins are posturing like, no, we're not going to get rid of guys that are controllable beyond this year. We'll see. This is all going to shake out toward the end of next week. And but pitching, for sure, and it should surprise no one that A.J. Preller is still talking about getting an outfielder. And what that would mean, and I don't know, you know, who, but it would almost certainly mean jettisoning somebody that's on the roster. And to me, like, Luke, if you think you're going to make yourself better by – say, and this is me now speculating about the specifics, by bringing in Joey Gallo, and then somehow you're going to take some money and you're going to give them Will Myers. I'm just throwing it out there. Okay. You're saying that you're going to be better and that Gallo's going to fit in here and make you better because you are rocking the chemistry. I don't want to overstate that, but you are a player who has been a part of this. You are sending away. And so – you know, you don't just make moves to make moves, I guess, is my bottom line.
Right. The Nelson Cruz thing, I'm looking this up while we're talking because I'm like, wait a minute. When was the last time Nelson Cruz
5 years ago
even played in the field? And the answer is in 2018.
Okay.
He played 26 and a third innings. So basically the equivalent of not quite three games in right field. For the Seattle Mariners, he was 37 years old at the time. The year before, he played 5 games, 28 innings, and that was 2017. So you have to go back to 2016, where he's played more than 28 innings in the field. And I mean, yeah, Nelson Cruz, boy, Nelson Cruz's bat. Who wouldn't want Nelson Cruz's bat? But how is he going to get any at bats? I mean, you can't. I just can't see putting him in the outfield. At this point in his career, I mean, he's 40. He just turned 41 years old. So, and he hasn't done it for over 3 years. So it just,
I don't see it. Evidently, he's down.
I mean, look, anything is possible. You never want to say never, but boy, that would be a weird, one.
Evidently, he's found the fountain of youth. He's running better, that sort of thing. That's why I'm like, eh.
And he hasn't even played first. And it's not where a case where you could, like, with a guy like where the Dodgers can put Pujols at first base and sort of quote unquote hide him there. Nelson Cruz has never played first base in the major leagues. He's only played the outfield. So you can't even say we'll do that. I mean, if he's going to play in the field, it's going to be he's going to have to play in the field.
Yeah, we've spent far too much time on Nelson Cruz.
Defensive downgrade. You're right. We have. When are they going to get a pitcher, Kevin? Come on. When is this going to happen?
Here's the thing. I also saw this report out there, and it's and look, I hadn't talked to anybody that would be on this in like a week, but I saw a report by Jeff Passan where the Padres are willing to go over the spending. You know, the luxury tax threshold.
Luxury tax. Yeah.
That seems to be counter to everything that they've said. I don't know that that's really that big of a deal. Like, if you're going to spend that money, you're going to spend that money. But, like, I don't see them adding something significant without subtracting something significant. Look, ticket sales are better, but, folks, that doesn't pay for itself for until, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, right? And but, hey, Peter Seidler's all in, but not all in to, like, this year, damn everything else. So I don't even know what to think, Jay. They will get a starting pitcher. However, the significant development is the last 3 days, they've had a guy the last 3 days, since that game they started last night isn't official yet. So their last three games, starting pitcher has gone at least 5 innings.
Woo, 5 innings.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Perfect. See, that's a significant improvement, though, over what they have done. So we are trending right. Hey, if Blake Snell can give you 5 innings tonight, 5 like shutout or something like that, you might actually start to get excited and be like, all right, cool, let's go. Let's see. What does Joe Musgrove do tomorrow? What does Ryan Weathers do? You, Darvish, in particular.
Look at the momentum they would have.
Well, it is about the starting pitchers getting better and giving you faith that they are going to be the kind of rotation that can get you into the playoffs and you know, get you through the playoffs. But I don't think there's anything that they do over the next 5, 6, 7 days that affects or stops AJ Preller from making a deal if one is out there to be had.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. I mean, you certainly don't want to read too much into what's happened, you know, in one small stretch like this. I mean, you know, Darvish pitched well. It was just, and especially for a first game back, I still can't believe he gave a pitch to the number 8 hitter.
It's a difficult game, Jay. It's a difficult game.
It is a difficult game, and he maybe missed a spot or something, but that was a strange spot there. I mean, Freddie Freeman hitting a home run. Freddie Freeman hits a lot of home runs, so nothing wrong with that. Chris Paddock yesterday, I thought was good. I was not overwhelmed, only because I thought there was a lot of hard contact. I think, did he only strike out one?
He struck out one.
One strikeout, a lot of hard contact. I mean, I think there were at least like 8 outs that were hit 95 miles an hour or harder. There were some tremendous defensive plays, which should not be overlooked. Ha-Seong Kim was tremendous at second base. Jerickson Profar made a great play. And look, Paddock pitched scoreless innings. There's 5 scoreless. That's a good thing. But I'm not going to get carried away and say Chris Paddock's back, and I don't think anybody else will. At this point, but it was a good sign that he was able to,
And that's why you have a defense, a good defense behind you.
Right, exactly.
The Padres.
And you don't have Nelson Cruz as part of it.
The Padres have been the personification of that. Like when they play good defense, like yesterday you noticed it. Look, there were a few hits, but you go through stretches of games where you're like, hey, I haven't really noticed the defense has done anything. Oh, that's just because they're making the plays.
Yeah.
And so that's why you have a good defense back there. You are absolutely correct. That is not vintage Chris Paddock. So
it was better
when we say vintage, by the way, we're talking about a kid who was 24 and a rookie who did it for like 7, 8 start stretches a couple times in his rookie season. But you'll take that, Chris Paddock. Are you kidding me? Because there's no doubt in a 9-inning game that he's going to bat there and he is going to go 6 innings in that game, if not more.
Yeah. And see, I would have disagreed with that. I would have sent up the pinch hitter. Yeah,
okay.
I would have sent up the pinch hitter anyway. What was the score at the time?
I think at that point, in that 7-inning game, I'm all in on you're trying to win that game.
Yeah.
If it's a 9-inning game and you have another 9-inning game, then you are going, wait a minute, I'm killing my bullpen, and I got a guy who's getting these guys out right now.
Right. I just thought with the top of the order coming up,
I understand.
At that point, it would be good. If you had 9 innings to play, if you had like a 9-inning doubleheader that day, then maybe I'm looking at it differently. But I didn't have an issue with the pinch hitter there. And you're right, especially in the 7-inning game. I mean, the problem, if there was any problem with pinch hitting there, it was that Drew Pomerantz came in and gave up a couple runs. It wasn't, there wasn't anything
in this situation,
wrong with
absolutely
the decision.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. But so we disagree on that. That's the beauty of baseball.
Yeah.
I will send you a nasty tweet later talking about how you hate everything about Jace Tingler.
Exactly. I hate everything. And we'll see, like I said, we'll see tonight now with Snell, another road start. He battled his way through the last one with just the one inning where he gave up runs, I think, in Washington. But it was a struggle to throw strikes. We'll see tonight. I don't know. Maybe being back in Florida will help him. Pitching in an indoor stadium in Florida, he'll feel like he's in Tampa again.
Well, I don't know. Facing the Marlins.
And it'll be a good thing. Right. And so, and then Musgrove will go tomorrow, and then looking forward to seeing Ryan Weathers come back and see where he is. I would not expect more than 4 or 5, obviously, from Weathers in that situation. Cycle around again with Darvish, and then we're back to Paddock, I guess, opening the homestand next week against Oakland. Or maybe it's, I don't know, John Gray or Kenta Maeda or somebody like that that's pitching by then. Who knows? But I do think that the Padres can be encouraged by the last couple of days, but obviously we need to see this a little bit more going forward.
Could not agree more. Again, this rotation will probably look different. I don't think they unload a starter, but that's another possibility too. A lot of decisions, and it's like you talked about, like nothing's, you don't take something in a small sample size. That's what's funny about this, that everyone says that the reason that the trade market, and this has been going on, first off, it was the All-Star game. People haven't decided whether they're sellers yet. You haven't decided if you're a seller yet? No, I get that. Like, it's also like just sort of the same thought that it's hard for AJ Preller to decide, do I really need another bat? You know, but you know if you're a seller or not. Like, look at your freaking team. Is it gonna beat the Dodgers? Is it gonna pass the Red Sox? No? Okay. So,
well, and that's the thing, especially in the National League. A team, I mean, maybe Washington, they're six games out, but they're behind three teams. Are they really going to be in a position to get things together? Maybe, I guess, if Strasburg comes back, that's going to give them a little bit of a boost. But, you know, I guess the Braves are saying, hey, we're 4.5 out. We're still going to be in it. But the Central Division, I mean, you know, the Reds are 6.5 back. The Cardinals are 7.5 back. You know, we know the Cubs are going to sell. Do the Reds, how much do they feel like they can catch the Padres? They're 5 games back in the loss column. You know, I don't know. I guess it's these teams have to decide what's best for them. But and maybe you say maybe you haven't decided yet, but maybe there's a couple teams that you do see what happens over the next 5 days or so, because maybe in 5 days you are 2 or 3 games closer to a position. But also, if I'm one of those teams, I'm thinking, hey, if I get a deal that's going to make me better next year,
right?
I don't care about this year. I'm taking that.
Well, especially if you're talking about what are you doing for the wild card? The wild card just doesn't do it for me. Like in terms of let's do it so we can get into that wild card game. And especially if you're the Reds, look, there are certain teams where once you're a seller, it's going to affect your attendance or, you know, there's all sorts of things. The Reds don't draw anybody anyway. Okay. You've got some parts that can, you've got a good core there. You really do.
Right.
And then you have some parts that could make you better next year, the year after. I just feel like, plus the Padres would like to get some of those players. So
now we get to the real story about that. So
we'll
see. What else did you see in Atlanta other than rain and long delays that made
was it 2-1 and 3-2 and then they won 3-2? Is that what happened?
Yeah, they lost 2-1 and won 3-2. The offense, we talked so much about, the offense is back and the offense has been great. Obviously a little bit down until yesterday. They had a big inning against, you know, let's face it, that guy's a 4-8, you know, both teams started 4-8 pitchers in that game. So the fact it was 5-4 after two innings probably shouldn't have been a big surprise. So we'll see what the Padres offense does here, you know, going into Miami. If I remember correctly, that's a pretty big ballpark.
It's a big ballpark.
But there's a lot of room for doubles and triples though.
And they open up the panels and all that, so it's still pretty humid in there. Like your drinks start sweating, you know. You're still it's pleasant, but it's, you know, yeah. So look, they come in to play the Marlins. This is no longer the Padres team that should really worry, because, like we said, we're not looking at, they don't have a Max Scherzer on there. Oh, we got at least on Saturday they're facing Max Scherzer.
Right.
This is a team the Padres should come in and with the way that they're playing, they should do well in this series. And I think that it's a nice, pleasant, though Atlanta was playing big as well. I don't know if it was that the air was like, you know, 90% humidity, even when it wasn't raining, but it's a park that should, you know, allow these pitchers and it won't be as sweaty. I know that it was very difficult. And we've talked a lot about grip. It was very difficult in Washington and Atlanta to be controlling the ball. And you could tell that Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove were struggling with that. So
I don't know. The ball should travel more in humid weather, but who knows what.
Really?
Yeah. Hot and humid weather is when the ball travels the most.
I don't know. Maybe it was the wind. It certainly didn't look like it, Jay, but the wind, there were some balls that died.
That I know, but that park seems a little bit bigger than maybe it feels. I don't know. Those, you know, it's like 385.
There's some weird to the alleys. There's some weird alleys there. Okay.
Uh-huh, so I don't know, but we know we won't have to worry about any wind this weekend in Miami. We don't have to worry about rain, and as you said, we should be guaranteed 4 days of baseball to watch, and then you can get back here where it's always nice. And have a week homestand, I believe, the A's and the Rockies.
It is the A's and the Rockies, 2 and 4. And then they go to – it's like they go to Oakland, right? And then come back home?
Yes. Yeah. That's that weird off Monday, Oakland Tuesday, Wednesday, off Thursday. And then actually a stretch of 13 straight games, which I think is their last one of the season, which has home games against Arizona and Miami. So, I mean, this is a stretch where we talked about before you're playing – you've got 4 games with the A's, but you've got 6 games coming up with the Marlins. You've got 7 games coming up with the Rockies, 3 games against the Diamondbacks, and 4 with the A's. So it's a stretch where you should be able to, get some wins in the bank here. Now, what actually happens, who knows? But we'll come back on, I guess, Tuesday and talk about what happened on the weekend and hopefully no more travel escapades for you to talk about.
If they don't get some wins in the bank, we'll be talking about that, Jay.
Now, that's right.
Funny. They could go, I guess, and whatever. Baseball's funny. Not going to pronounce it over. But if they don't get some wins in the bank here, there's a problem because it's a lot of bad teams coming up.
Yeah, there's like 28 games coming up, I think, before they see the Dodgers again, if I just counted correctly. And 4 of them are against teams with winning record. That's those 4 games against the A's. So you're right. They should be getting some wins in the bank.
Yep.
So,
all right. Sorry, Jay. Right. I don't want you to think it's you. For those of us watching here, I have a lot of work to do, and I'm sorry, but
we all do. I think we've talked enough about the 2 games that happened since the last time we talked, or 2.5 games, or
is that all? Whatever. It's absolutely unbelievable how much I was at that ballpark.
I know
for two games.
I know they couldn't get 3 more outs yesterday. You knew the umps were just like, oh, please give us 3 more outs.
I'm gonna have a hard time forgiving Reese Kinnear. Okay, I don't mean it personally, Reese, but just a few more strikes and we could have all been home. I could have been in Miami 12 hours earlier, and your teammates could have been rested. But anyway, you think about that in AAA. Okay, everybody, thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you after this series before the 2 games against Oakland on Tuesday.